ta' ġus, nsemmilkom un il-għakom għal program ieħor fis-sensiela il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. Aħna minn għalina li għax tkun aristokratiku kont tkun emanċipat. Ekkon naħseb jien, immissa taraw, kemm konna mqarqin. Se nitkellmu dwar l-aristokrazija u n-nisa u kemm kienu neqsin mid-drittijiet. Għad smajtu biha dik il-kittieba li kienet spija tar-re ta' Franza u mbagħad saret kittieba propju fuqha se nitkellmu llum fuq Madame d'Aulnoy. Għadna kif semmejna fil-programmi li għaddew lill-kittieba Taljan Basile u l-Straparola, daw flimkien mal-kittieb Franċiż Perrault u l-aħwa Grimm minn dejjem ammettew li s-sors tal-ħrejjef kienu n-nisa. Fil-fatt, kienu n-nisa li kienu jirrakkontaw. Jidher però li ġala darba l-ħrejjef ħadu forma letterarja, n-nisa sparixxew mix-xena u baqgħu anonimi. Iżda nafu wkoll illi fis-sena 1685 din Madame d'Aulnoy kienet imsemmija mal-belt ta' Pariġi kollha għall-istejjer li kienet tirrakkonta ġoru Saint-Benoît Salon, li imbagħad kitbet u publikat fil-bidu tal-1609. Issa qabel is-seklu 17 il-ħrejjef Franċiżi kienu meqjusin bħala xi ħaġa vulgari li kienu tajbin biss għar-raħala. Ukoll jekk il-klassi għolja kienet xorta waħda familjari magħhom permezz tas-sefturi u l-governanti. Iżda f'daqqa waħda f'nofs is-seklu 17 il-ħrejjef tal-maġija bdew ikunu ta' seħer għall-intellettwali ta' dak iż-żmien. Il-laqat ġo dawn is-salotti bdew isiru aktar ta' spiss u dawn kienu ospitati minn nisa aristokratiċi prominenti. Fl-1630 nisa u irġiel kienu jiltaqgħu ġo s-salotti biex jiddiskutu affarijiet kurrenti. Dawn in-nisa u l-irġiel li kienu jattendu dawn is-salotti kienu jsejħulhom précieuse u précieux li tfisser prezzjużi. Minħabba li l-mod kif kienu jesprimu ruħhom kien speċjali, ċajtir u intelligenti. Il-kortiġjani nisa u rġiel kienu jsibu diffiċli biex jitħaltu ġol-qrati tar-re u speċjalment jesprimu l-opinjonijiet tagħhom. Dak kien żmien li n-nisa ma setgħux jattendu skejjel jew universitajiet, żmien meta żwiġijiet kienu jiġu deċiżi mill-ġenituri. Palma ġarala il-baronessa d'Aulnoy. Daw kienu jiġu mibjuajn lil-min jagħtihom l-aktar flus. Ma kellhom l-ebda kontroll fuq ħajjithom. Raġel kien jiġi aċċettat li kollu kemm irid nisa, iżda il-mara le. Id-divorzju ma kienx jeżisti, il-metodi biex ma ġibx tfal kienu primittivi, u żmien meta ħafna nisa kienu jmutu waqt li kienu qegħdin iweldu. In-nisa bdew jippruvaw jasserixxu ruħhom. Għalhekk kienu jippruvaw jikkontrollaw flushom, jivvjaġġaw mingħajr chaperones u fuq kollox ħassew li kellhom ifittxu l-opportunità li jużaw l-intelligenza u t-talenti tagħhom. Dawn il-laqat ġo dawn is-salotti inkoraġġewhom biex jibdew jiktbu u jkunu jistgħu jaqilgħu l-flus u jsiru indipendenti u jgħixu għal rashom. Minn dawn is-salotti ħarġu ideat artistiċi u movimenti politiċi. Minn hawnhekk ħarġu kittieba nisa ta' talent kbir ta' dan is-seklu bħal Madame de Scudéry, Madame Lafayette. Iridu niftakru li sa dan is-seklu in-nisa kienu biss jirrakkontaw il-ħrejjef u mhux jiktbuhom. Ġala darba l-ħrejjef ħadu forma letterarja, in-nisa sparixxew mix-xena u baqgħu anonimi. Iżda dan il-moviment il-ġdid ħajjar nisa oħra biex joħorġu fil-beraħ u jissieltu kontra dak li kien qed jostakolhom. Marie Catherine Lejumel de Banville, li mbagħad saret magħrufa bħala il-baronessa d'Aulnoy, ukoll magħrufa bħala il-kontessa d'Aulnoy, kienet waħda minn dawn in-nisa u saret kittieba magħrufa. Għiexet bejn l-1651 sal-1705. Fl-1685 Madame d'Aulnoy kienet imsemmija mal-belt ta' Pariġi kollha għall-istejjer li kienet tirrakkonta ġoru Saint-Benoît Salon. Il-ħajja ta' din il-mara kienet ikkomplikata u avventuruża daqs l-istejjer tagħha. min kunventa s-sorijiet ta' jeta zaħira tispiċa miż-żewġa l-baruni Dolnoj, ikbar minna 30 sena. Ta' dal-arranġament mis-sira daħħal xi ħaġa fil-but. Ir-raġel taħħa kien sakranazz, jiġri man-nisa u jilab il-flus. U biex teħles minn dan ir-raġel li kella jew omma t-tnejn li huma, kellhom relazzjoni ma' raġel ieħor bl-iskop li jikkumplottaw u jużaw l dawn iż-żewġ tirġiel biex il-baruni jiġi mixli li jittradixxa lir-re. U b'hekk setgħet teħles minnu dal-bal dejjem minħabba li ma kienx hemm divorzju. Issa dan il-kumplott inkixef, ir-raġel inħeles u jew omma spiċċaw jiġru mal-Ewropa jispijaw għar-re biex jerġgħu jinoġbu miegħu. Fl-aħħar, fl-1685, reġgħu tħallew lura ġo Pariġi fejn ingħataw għal ħajja fis-salotti u fil-kidba biex taraw hemmhekk x'ħajja avventuruża kellha din mara. Issa kienet il-kontessa Dolnoj li użat il-kelma ħrafa l-ewwel darba u sejħitilha Cont de Fer, jiġifieri Fairy Tales. Mas-sena 1690 is-salott tagħha kien jilqa' fih aristokratiċi u prinċipijiet. Fit-tletax il-sena li ġew wara ippubblikat ma' 12 il-ktieb li tnejn minnhom huma dedikati lill-ħrejjef. Il-ħrejjef tagħha Le Conte de Fer kienu popolari immens. Dawn Le Conte de Fer huma xogħlijiet letterarji ta' grupp ta' kittieba Pariġini ta' 17-il seklu li adattaw stejra adulti li kienu jirrakkontaw fis-salotti tagħhom għat-tfal. L-avvanzi fit-teknoloġija tal-istampar u l-edukazzjoni għamel dawn l-istejjer forma ta' letteratura li ġiet apprezzata ħafna. L-istil tal-lingwa użata fil-ħrejjef li kienu jiġu rakkontati min-nisa fis-salotti kienet elaborata u ikkumplikata biex taħbi messaġġi sovversivi biex ma jiġux iċċensurati. Fost affarijiet oħra kienu jikkritikaw ir-re, kienu jikkummentaw dwar il-ħajja tagħhom u dwar il-korteġġjani tar-re, u mhux taf xejn li dawn il-ħrejjef kienu jittrattaw dwar tfajliet aristokratiċi żgħar imma intelligenti li ħajjithom kienet iddettata mill-kapriċċi tal-missirijiet rejjiet sħaħar krudili. Imbagħad is-sħaħaret tajbi u intelligenti isalvawhom. Il-baronessa Dolnoj ħallet impatt kbir fuq il-ħrejjef, hi kienet tuża stil mexxej issa qed titkellem ma' xi ħadd. Dawn l-istejjer ma kinux adattati għat-tfal, iżda it-traduzzjonijiet Ingliżi għenu biex jiġu adattati għall-udjenza aktar innoċenti. Xogħlijiet oħrajn ta' Madame Dolnoj inkludu Fair Brown and Trembling, The Golden Slipper, Katie Wooden Cloak, Russian Coatie, The Sharp Grey Sheep, The Story of Tam and Cam u The Wonderful Birch. Dolnoj magħrufa ħafna għal waħda mill-ewwel verżjonijiet ta' Cinderella li nafu llum li jisima Finette Sindron. Innutaw kemm interessanti u differenti mill-verżjoni li nafu llum. Innutaw ukoll kemm fiha minn dawn il-messaġġi sovversivi li għadna kemm irreferejna għalihom. Mela hawnhi il-ħrafa ta' Finette Sindron. Once upon a time, a king and a queen who managed their affairs very badly. They were driven out of their kingdom and had to sell first their crowns, then their clothes, their linen, their laces, their furniture, bit by bit, in order that they might have bread to eat. The pawnbrokers were tired of buying, for every day something new was sold. When at last they were stripped of nearly everything they possessed, the king said to his wife, "Here we are exiled from our kingdom, with nothing left us to live on. We must therefore earn our own and our poor children's bread. Think then what we shall do, for till now I have only followed kingcraft, which is very easy." The queen, who was very clever, asked 8 days to think about the matter. At the end of the time she said, "There is no reason why we should be miserable, Your Majesty, All you have to do is to make nets to catch birds in the woods and fish in the sea. While the lines are wearing out, I shall make others for you. As for our three daughters, they are lazy minxes, and no mistake, who think they are still great ladies, and play at being such. They must be sent away, so far away that they will never come back, for it would be impossible for us to give them the fine clothes they would desire. The king began to weep when he saw he must part from his children, for he was a kind father. But the queen was mistress. He agreed, therefore, to all her proposals, and said, "Tomorrow morning rise early, and take your three daughters wherever you think suitable." While they were planning this, Princess Finette, the youngest girl, was listening through the keyhole. When she had found out the intention of her father and mother, she ran off as fast as ever she could to a large grotto, a long way from home, where the fairy Merluche, her godmother, lived. Finette took with her 2 pounds of fresh butter, some eggs, milk, and some flour to make a nice cake for her godmother, so that she might get a good welcome from her. Very merrily did she set out on her journey, but the farther she went, the more tired she grew. The soles of her shoes were quite worn through, and her pretty little feet were so torn that it was pitiful to see them. At last she had to give up, and sitting down on the grass she began to cry. A beautiful Spanish jennet passed by, saddled and bridled, with more diamonds on its saddle-cloth than would buy 3 whole towns. On seeing the princess, it began feeding quietly by her side, and bending its knee, it seemed to bow before her. "Pretty one," she said, taking hold of the bridle, "will you carry me to my godmother the fairy? I shall be so grateful if you will, for I'm so tired that I'm like to die, and if you help me now, I will give you nice oats and hay and fresh straw to lie on." The horse bent down almost to the ground before her, and little Finette jumped on its back, whereupon it set off, running as lightly as a bird. At the entrance of the grotto it stopped, as if it had known the way, as indeed it did, for it was Merluche, knowing that her goddaughter was coming to see her, who had sent this beautiful horse. When she was inside, she made 3 low bows to her godmother, and taking the hem of her dress, she kissed it, saying, "Good day, godmother. How are you? Here's some butter, some milk, some flour, and some eggs, which I have bought to make a nice cake for you, just as we do at home." "Welcome, Finette," said the fairy. "Come, till I give you a kiss." So saying, she kissed her twice, which made Finette very happy, for Madame Merluche was not a common fairy. "I want you to be my little maid. Take down my hair and comb it." The princess undid it and combed it in the cleverest possible way. "I know quite well," said Merluche, "why you came here. You overheard the king and the queen, who want to lead you away and lose you, and you wish that no such evil thing may happen to you. Well, you have only to take this ball of thread. It will never break. Fasten one end to the door of your house, and keep it in your hand. When the queen has left you, it will be easy to return by following the thread." The princess thanked her godmother, who filled a bag for her with beautiful dresses, all of gold and silver, and after kissing her, mounted her again on the beautiful horse, and in 2 or 3 minutes she was landed at the door of their majesty's hut. "My little friend," said Finette to the horse, "you are very pretty and very good, and you run faster than the sun. Thank you for your trouble, and now go back to where you came from." She entered the house very quietly, and hiding her bag under her pillow, went to her bed as if nothing had happened. As soon as day dawned, the king awoke his wife, saying, "Come, madam, come, get ready for the journey." She got up immediately, put on her thick shoes, a short skirt, a white camisole, and took a stick in her hand. Then she called her eldest daughter, whose name was Fleur d'Amour, her second and her third, Fin or Finette, as she was usually called. "I learnt in a dream last night," said the queen, "that we must go and see my sister. She will entertain us.
and we can eat and laugh as much as ever we like.
Fledamore, who was miserable at living in this lonely place, said to her mother, Very well, madam, let us go wherever you please, provided that I get away from here. It doesn't matter to me. The two others said the same. So after bidding good to the king, all the four set off. They went such a very long way that Finoret began to be much afraid. She would not have thread enough, for they had gone nearly 1,000 leagues. She used always to walk behind her sisters, passing the thread deftly through the bushes. When the queen thought that her daughters would not be able to find their way back, she went into a large wood and said, My little lambs, go to sleep now. I shall be the shepherdess who watches round her flock, for fear the wolf should eat them. So lying down on the grass, they fell asleep, and the queen left them there, thinking she should never see them again. Finette had shut her eyes, but was not asleep. If I were a wicked girl, she said, I should go away at once, leaving my sisters here to die, for they beat me and scratch me till the blood comes. But in spite of all their cruelty, I will not leave them. So she awoke them, and told them the whole story. They began to cry, and begged her to take them along with her, and said they would give her lovely dolls, and their little silver doll's house, and their other toys, and their sugar plums. I know well enough that you will do nothing of the kind, said Finette, but all the same I will be a kind sister to you. And getting up, she followed her thread, and the princesses did so too, so that they got home almost as soon as the queen. The queen pretended that she was very glad to see them, and told them she had forgotten something, and that she came to fetch it, but assuredly she would have found them again. And they made as if they believed her, and went up to their sleeping-place in a pretty little garret for the night. Finette heard the queen saying to the king, I shall take them in another direction, still further off, and I am sure they will never return. When Finette heard this plan, she got up very quietly, meaning to pay another visit to her godmother. With the help of the godmother, Finette managed to save her sisters once again, and they returned home safely, but not the third time. This time, the trail of peas they had left on their way were eaten by the pigeons. This time, they could not find their way back, and they went hungry for days, until they spotted this beautiful castle. Thinking that the castle would bring them marriage and good luck, Fleur d'Amour and Belle de Nuit put on Finette's dresses and left. Finette followed them. They were shocked when they were welcomed by the ogre's wife, and later on by the ogre himself. The ogre was 6 times as tall as his wife. When he spoke, the house shook. When he coughed, you would have thought it was claps of thunder. He had only one eye, a large, ugly one. His hair stood all on end, and he leant on a log which he used for a stick. In his hand he held a covered basket, out of which he drew 15 little children that he had stolen on the road, and whom he swallowed as if they had been 15 fresh eggs. When the 3 princesses saw him, they shook with terror under the tub, and dared no longer cry aloud for fear he should hear them. But low to themselves they said, He'll eat us all alive. How can we escape? But his wife convinced him.
They will therefore be my servants, so I beg of you not to eat them just now. If you wish to, at some future time, you can do as you like.
The ogre came out of the cellar and ordered them to be brought before him. The poor girls were nearly dead with fright, but the ogress reassured them. When he saw them, he asked them what they could do, and they told him they could sweep and sew and spin perfectly, that their stews were so delicious that you would like to eat the plate even on which they were served. And as for their bread and their cakes, people came for them from 1,000 miles around. The ogre was greedy, and he said,
Now then, set these fine cooks to work at once. But,
said he, turning to Finette,
when you have lit the fire, how can you tell if the oven be hot enough?
My lord, she answered, I throw butter in, and then I taste it with my tongue.
Very well, he said. Light the fire, then.
The oven was as big as a stable, for the ogre and the ogress
ate more bread than two armies. The princess made an enormous fire, which blazed like a furnace, and the ogre, who was standing by, ate 100 lambs and 100 sucking pigs, while waiting for the new bread. Fleur d'Amour and Belle de Nuit kneaded the dough.
"Well,"
said the great ogre,
"is the oven hot?"
"My lord," replied Finette, "you will see presently." And so saying, she threw 1,000 pounds of butter into the oven. "I should try it with my tongue," she said, "but I'm too little."
"I am big enough," said the ogre,
and bending down he went so far into the oven that he could not draw back again, so that he was burned to the bones. When the ogress came to the oven, she was mightily astonished to find the mountain of cinders instead of her husband. Fleur d'Amour and Belle de Nuit, who saw that she was in great distress, comforted her as they could, but they feared lest her grief should be consoled only too soon, and that, regaining her appetite, she would put them in a salad, as she had meant to do before. So they said to her, "Take courage, madam. You will find some king or some marquis who will be happy to marry you." At that she smiled a little, showing her teeth, which were longer than your finger. When they saw she was in good humour, Finette said, "If you could but leave off wearing those horrible bearskins and dress a little more fashionably, we could arrange your hair beautifully, and you would be like a star."
"Come then," she said, "let us see what you can do. But be sure that if I find any ladies more beautiful than myself, I shall hack you into little bits."
Thereupon the three princesses took off her cap and began to comb and curl her hair, entertaining her all the while with their chatter. Then Finette took a hatchet, and with a great blow from behind, severed her head from her body. Never was there such joy. They climbed up to the roof of the house to amuse themselves by ringing the golden bells. They ran through all the rooms, which were of pearls and diamonds, and furnished so richly that they nearly died of joy. They laughed, they sang, nothing was lacking. They had wheat and sweetmeat, fruits and dolls, as many as they liked. Fleur d'Amour and Belle de Nuit slept in beds hung with brocade and velvet, and they said to each other, "Here we are richer than was our father in his kingdom, but we want husbands. No one will come here, for this house is certainly looked on as a debt trap, and nobody knows of the death of the ogre and his wife. We must go to the nearest town to show ourselves off in our fine clothes, and it will not be long before we find honest merchants who will be glad enough to wed with princesses." Pija ta' din il-ħrafat kompli ftit jewis kif nafu li verament il-ħrafat ta' Cinderella. Iżda minn flok Finett Sendron, issib ċavetta u bis-saħħa tagħha tkun tista' tiftaħ dan is-sendu fejn issib l-isbaħ ġojelli u il-biss u tkun tista' tmur il-ballu imma din id-darba fuq iż-żiemel li tkun batitilha s-saħħara t-tajba. U tanderet sabiħa li kulħadd iċċassa lejha. Fil-fatt fl-istorja tiġi mqabbla ma' sabiħa Elena ta' Trojja. U l-istorja tkompli ftit jewwiss l-istess bħal dik li aħna familjari magħha, iżda hawnhekk Finette Sendron issib li dan il-prinċep li jkun tant ħabba kien it-tifel ta' re u reġina li kienu ħatfu r-renju ta' omma u misiera. U fil-fatt i tagħmel minn kollox u jimnexxiela li terġa' tikseb lura dan ir-renju u taħt idea u fil-fatt blajnuna tas-saħara t-tajba tagħmellux issib li l-omma l-missiera terġa' tingħaqad ukoll maħuta u jgħixu għal dejjem ġo r-renju tagħhom. U fil-fatt kellimna qabel dwar il-messaġġi sovversivi li Madame Dolnoy kienet iddaħħal fil-kitba tagħha. U naħseb innu tajtu kemmi b'saħħitha di Cinderella, di Finette Sendron.
Semmejna qabel kemm il-mara kienet dipendenti fuq ir-raġel u hawnhekk naraw mara li blajnuna tas-saħara tajba toqtol il-ġgant u l-mara tiegħu, issir tant indipendenti u b'saħħitha. Tikkonvinċi wkoll il-familja tal-prinċep biex irrenju li kienu tilfu l-om u l-missier jerġa' jingħata lura lilhom, u hawnhekk narawha tant emanċipata li issa minflok li hija l-proprjetà ta' xi ħadd għandha rridni f'idea fil-fatt kompletament nistgħu ngħidu, m'għandix bżonn il-missiera jew lill-omma biex iżewġuha għax isseħeb sabitu hi jew inkella nistgħu ngħidu sabu lad-destin, u għandek naraw kif ir-regoli u l-kodiċi morali qegħdin jagħmluhom in-nisa stess. Kważi kważi Madame Dolnoy kienet qiegħda tgħid li n-nisa jistgħu jirnexxu mingħajr għajnuna, ma nafx forsi mingħajr għajnuna tas-soċjetà, tar-raġel, tal-ġenituri, li forsi flok tajnhom kienet qiegħda iktar tissoffokhom u xxekkilhom. Nittama li l-programm tal-lum oġobkom u beħsib li nkompli l-laqakom aktar kittiba nisa tal-ħrejjef din id-darba mis-seklu 18 fejn se nlaqakom ma' Madame Beaumont u Madame Villeneuve. Kif qegħdin taraw huma wkoll Franċiżi. Kienet Madame Villeneuve li ħarġet bil-verżjoni oriġinali ta' Beauty and the Beast. Iżda iktar tarif dwar dan fil-programm li jmiss il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. Sadattant jiena Margita Juice insemmilkom.